I want to talk for a short time this afternoon from a passage in Philippians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9. We've heard this passage many times. I think when it says think on these things though, I think there's a lot we can take from that. When we think of this passage and we think of our daily lives and when we go from day to day, a lot of our time is consumed with either work or things that seem to overcome us that we're worried about and all of those types of things. But this verse tells us where our focus should be. And I think as we go through this thought process, and we'll look at that process on how we typically approach things and what we do to come to conclusions, and when we're trying to reach a goal, I think this sort of tells us these are the things that you ought to spend your time on. And I think when we go through that, you'll see that it falls right in line with what we need to do in order to serve God. If we read that passage, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. When we think about what we do and how we make decisions in our lives, there's a certain thought process that we typically go through. If we're something is important to us, or if we're trying to make that decision, we'll go through many of these steps. Now, you'll notice that I did leave off the step where we actually make a decision for ourselves in our lives. Because depending on how important that decision is, we may make it at any one of these steps. But when it's important in life, we should follow them all. If something we're trying to make a decision on, if we think on that, that's something that we do in it. We turn it over in our minds and we think about what we want to do in this certain situation. We may go and study it or research it. We'll go to certain places where we can find information on that. We may consult with others to see what their opinion is on it or what their experience has been. And then we'll evaluate wherever we made that decision. We'll evaluate that decision and we'll continue toward whatever goal we've made. Now, it's very similar in our spiritual lives, the things that we should do in order to make decisions. We should think on Him and His teachings. We should study His Word to help give us guidance. We fellowship with Christians or people that are like-minded to make those decisions. We go to Him in prayer for guidance. We evaluate whatever decision we've made and we continue toward our goal of heaven. Those are very similar thought processes no matter what it is we're trying to make a decision on. And I think if we go back to this verse, we see where our thoughts should be framed on those things that He teaches us about. And He says, whatsoever I've taught you, think on those things. As we go through this, I think you'll see when we think of people following away from God and going astray from those things, I think we'll see that these things start to have less importance in people's lives. You know, we pray many times that the things that we're taught here at church, that we're taught from the pulpit, that we'll live those things out in our lives, and those things are important to us. And as we see those things, we may go to the scriptures and we may have conversations with different individuals on whether or not the things that we believe are true. You know, typically universities don't use their own graduates. They'll go out and they'll find graduates from other universities because they want to bring in new ideas. They want to bring in different approaches to the things that are being taught there. Now here, we don't typically go out and seek ways for us to change the things that we're doing because we believe the things that we do are in accordance with God's Word. But to have a plurality of teachers is a blessing for us. We have a number of very talented teachers here in this congregation. And they bring those to us. And it's not unusual for me to sit through a service or a lesson and somebody may say something and I may say, you know, I've never thought about that way. I think that he makes a better point than what maybe I've always thought about that scripture. We benefit from those things and we benefit from that plurality of teachers. In Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, here David says, know my thoughts. And even in the absence of wicked ways, Consider what God would see in us. When God looks at our lives, does He look down and see that our thoughts are framed around Him? Does He see us contemplating what He would have us to do in our lives to serve Him more closely? Is that what He sees in our lives? When we have the things in the world that are important, we think about them continually, don't we? If we have something going on at work, or if there's something that we're working on at home or something like that, many times our thoughts are formed around whatever that is. Does God know His importance in our life when He looks at our thoughts? When people know our thoughts, they ask us about those things, don't they? They may ask Matt about cattle. How are the cattle? What are you doing these days? And many, many different individuals are the same. We may talk to Steve and say, Steve, what's going on with the power in town? When we know people's thoughts and we know what they do and what they constantly think about, we may ask them about those things. Could God make conversation with us based on our thoughts of our Christian life? You know, I think there's times in my life where He would hurt for material to discuss. That conversation might be lacking because as He looked down on me at that particular moment in time, my thoughts may not have been on how to serve Him. Could He look down on us and see our thoughts just as David had prayed here and look and see His importance in our lives? Our thoughts are one of the hardest things to keep focused, aren't they? Because nobody ever knows what we're thinking. They don't know if we're sitting and thinking about contemplating about work. We may be thinking about our families. We could be thinking about anything. And sometimes it's hard to stay focused on those things. The good thing is God is important to us. And when we think on Him and we consider Him and we come here and we're gathered with people with like mind who come to study His Word, we're surrounded by those things and it keeps us focused where our focus should be. And as we think on Him more and more, it leads us to study more about what He would have us to do. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we read here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, when people make large purchases, they want to know they're making the right decision, don't they? Sometimes they go to something called Consumer Reports, or they'll go to the internet and look at reviews on that particular thing. Because they want to know that they're making the right decision and they're not going to make a decision that turns out to be the wrong one. Why don't we just listen to the sales and marketing people on this particular product? Why don't we do that? Because many times we've all experienced that they can be misleading. Many of us have experienced that. And we don't want that to happen. So we go to a third party or we go to the source to find out what the truth is about that particular product. You know, it's the same thing in 2 Timothy. Know what you have. Know that what you believe is based on the truth in God's Word. Study to show thyself approved. Know that the things that you, what you believe and rightly divide those things. In Proverbs 15 and verse 28, it says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You know, I was talking to somebody one time and we got in a conversation about having to do the lesson at church and things like that. And, you know, that individual told me, he said, you know, I can get up at work. I can say anything I want to say. It's no big deal. But I get in front of the church and I get extremely nervous. You know, the reason for that is he didn't want to be misleading in any way on these types of things. You know, at work he can make that decision and, you know, maybe no big deal. But if he gets it wrong up here, he felt like he may mislead somebody and maybe somebody never realizes that he's done it. And it's just like it talks about in this verse, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. You know, it's easy to give that quick answer. It's easy for a lot of people to go and say, well, the Bible, you know, I believe it teaches this. But it's something very different when they take us there and they show us and allow us to study it from the source. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, we've read this passage many times, but I find the latter part interesting when it says with fear. We're taught to read and study and do those things in fear. A fear of the word leaves me now. A fear that leads us to study further, to know what it is we're studying about, and not just take anything at face value. You know, it'd be an arrogant thing for me to stand here and say, well, I know I have perfect understanding of everything that's in the Bible. We all know that's not true. I don't have that kind of understanding. But hopefully the topics that I bring to you, they have been studied out. And what I tell you is from God's Word. And if God is important to me, I'll study His Word to see what those things I believe are based on His teachings. In Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we spoke of before, why did we consult Consumer Reports when making that purchase? Because we wanted to go someplace that would tell us what we actually should do and that the decision that we were about to make was a good one. And as faith increases, so will our desire to study God's Word and think on it. And it increases that faith. And when we go to Consumer Reports and we read there and it tells us, you know, the things that we want to know about that product, we have faith that we're making the correct decision. Our faith in God increases and we have an increased faith on the things that we believe He teaches as we study those things. In Romans 15, verses 4 through 7, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to glory of God. We come together to fellowship with other Christians because the things we have in common, the thing we have in common is Christ. Just as people go to conventions to learn more about an industry or support groups for various life events, we come here to share our lives and support one another. You know, if you talk to anybody that's successful in an industry or anything that they do, they all say the same thing. Surround yourself by successful people if you want to be successful. And that's why we come here. You know, there's times when maybe I don't feel so successful in my Christian life, but maybe at that time someone else does. And hopefully we can share that with one another and uplift one another. Sometimes we may be uplifted by the words of brothers and sisters, and other times we may be the ones providing those uplifting words. But one thing we always gain is edification through the teaching of God's Word, no matter what. No matter if we're up in life or we're down in life, we can always be edified by God's Word as we come together. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. When we come together, we have each other's best interest in mind. You know, don't always let it be about me. When I come here, I come to be edified, but it shouldn't be always somebody looking to uplift me. We have to find ways to give back to others. And the importance of Christ will be evident in our lives at that point. The other ways we consult and be successful is through prayer. If we have a chance to ask help from the utmost expert on living a Christian life, why would we not do that? Why would we not go to God in prayer and ask for wisdom and knowledge and the things that we need to have a successful life and live as Christians? Why would we not go to God and ask Him for those things? You know, that'd be a lot like going to somebody who was very successful in some industry. Say, if I wanted to be successful in the software industry, you know, I had access to go to Bill Gates. Would I not go to Bill Gates and ask him how to be successful in the software industry? Of course I would. Why would we not then go to Christ and go to God in prayer for guidance in our Christian lives? To have that success that we desire? Of course we would. An active prayer life is so important in striving to live a Christian life and making it the most important thing in our list of things to do. You know, there's so many distractions in life. You know, that sometimes we go from day to day and we're doing good just to make it through the day. We need time to consider the teachings of Christ and think back to Philippians 4 when it tells us what things we need to focus our attention on. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, it says, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. And in Ephesians 3, 19 through 21, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can do so much more for us than we even ask. Yet there are times in our lives when we fail to go to him and ask for that guidance. What does your prayer life look like today? Do we go to God regularly? Do we constantly approach him for those things? When we want guidance, do we go to him? We should go to the source. Living a Christian life is important to our success, and going to God in prayer to give thanks for all he has done and asking him for knowledge and guidance should be part of our everyday life. So we can see that consulting others through fellowship and prayer is an excellent way for us to make certain we're successful as Christians and in our Christian life. You know, we should also do an evaluation of where we are in our lives. When pursuing things that are important to you, it's necessary in understanding if changes need to be made. And David recognizes this in Psalms 119 and verse 59. He says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. David said he thought on his ways. He did an evaluation. He thought about how he was performing, how he was living up to those expectations. He looked at what he was doing, evaluated on whether or not he was going in the right direction, and he turned or changed. He made the changes that were necessary for him to follow what he knew was right. You know, there's so many distractions in this life. Again, sometimes we're doing good just to make it through the day. We need to pause and take that time to look at that. If we never pause to truly look to see where we're at and where we're putting our proper importance of God in our lives, then we won't make those changes. We won't make those turns or those changes that David talked about here. No one wakes up and intentionally leaves God. It just doesn't happen. People don't wake up one day and say, you know, I think everything I've been doing has been a total waste of time. I think I'm going to lead my life in a different way. People don't do that, do they? Many times it's a gradual thing that people never even realize that's happening. They gradually start letting things go in their life, and they gradually start doing things that they didn't normally do. And those steps in their lives lead them into a different direction. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 and 28, it says, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Kind of jumped forward a little bit right there. You know, we make time every week when we come to the services to partake of the Lord's table. And part of what we do in that is we examine ourselves. You know, we've made the time. We've come here to take the time. Why would we not take advantage of that time to do an evaluation of where we're at? To understand where we stand with God and understand what changes we need to make and to see what things better we can do to serve Him. You know, this would be difficult to do if following Christ did not have the proper importance in our life, wouldn't it? If He doesn't have the proper importance in our life, it's probably not important for us to be here. And if it's not important for us to be here, then we're not going to partake of the emblems and do that self-examination. It might become something very routine that we often did. And there again, we start down that road where we gradually leave and start to live our lives in a different way. As we strive to do the things in our life that are important to us, once we've done all these other things, we continue toward our goal, and in this case, heaven. You know, there's two reasons why we choose to obey the gospel and to be washed in Jesus' blood. I believe one of those is because we know we have a problem. We know there's something that stands between us and God, and we know we need to take care of that. And the other is we have a promise of something better to come. And between those two issues, it becomes evident in our life that we need to take care of that. These two things should give us proper motivation to reach our goal, even after we've taken that initial step. Those two very things should lead us to continue to look at ways that we can please God. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Nothing else compares, does it? Nothing that's offered in this life even compares of what we've been offered through Christ. The focus should be on that. That should be what's important to us. As we think of other things we strive for, we should follow the same steps in order to reach this goal. And as important as reaching heaven is, we should consider each step. We talked about people leaving and, you know, how it's a gradual thing. And if we look at these different steps, we can see how that might happen. You know, if we never think on Jesus and His teachings, that becomes a miss in our life, doesn't it? If we don't think on those things, we won't study His Word. And if we don't think on those things and study His Word, then fellowship with other Christians becomes not so important, does it? And if we don't do those first things, then there's no prayer or evaluation to be done because we haven't considered those teachings. That's not something that we can consider to be important in our lives. And finally, if there's none of these other things, then what is there any pursuit of heaven? And we can see what we thought was important in our life becomes a great void. You know, I think back and I don't even remember who it was. There was some celebrity that they were interviewing on TV. And they talked to this guy, and he said that he was a Christian at one time, and he rethought that, and, you know, the thing that he worried about leaving Christianity was it was just going to leave this great void in his life. And he told the person that he was interviewing with, he said, "You know, I thought there was going to be this great void. You know, there really wasn't when I left Christianity." You know, the only thing you can say about that, if there's no void left in your life in the absence of it, you probably weren't doing it right. It should be of great importance to us. And if we follow these steps and we continually go back and revisit those things and know that our thoughts drive whatever it is we do. You know, we talked in the first part about thinking on these things, and it talks about this great list. And we know that if we think on those things, then we have more optimism in this life and we have more optimism of things to come. But, you know, just as this individual said, there was no great void because obviously that was not a priority in his life. Hopefully when we look in our own lives, we could see without God and without Christ, there would be a great void and where there would be something missing that would need to be filled.